Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. And we're going through a series of questions like, was Jesus a real king? Was he the head of a real government? Was his government on earth, or was it some place you go when you die? Was this kingdom of the world, or was it in the world? Well, it was in the world. It was on the planet, and it was not of the constitutional order and system of government of Pilate. It wasn't of the system of government of other governments. It was an independent, separate government, holy government, that took care of the needs of its citizenry through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, while its citizenry were having their conversation. That's one of the words that we will study eventually, is Paul talking about having his conversation in heaven. And that conversation is a word that was actually the word from polis, citizen, and it meant conducting civil affairs. That's the way it's defined, right, in their concordance. That's what they were doing. They were taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. And the jealousy of other governments who were falling into decay and corruption and graft and were actually going bankrupt were jealous of the Christians because they were doing pretty good. And they would gather once a week and make sure that those who didn't have enough received from those who had enough to get by and to share, just like John the Baptist was saying. Just like the church used to do, they took care of the social welfare for everybody. Not because there was no government programs around, but because all the other government programs were based on force, compelling people to contribute to the welfare of others, and often without a moral criteria. In other words, if you were an adulterer and a fornicator and a murderer, you would still be taken care of by the Roman government if you could apply for those benefits from their system of government that was run through their temples. The temples were all government buildings. Judea, the Temple of Herod, was a government building. It collected the funds, the sacrifice of the people, in the corban of the people to take care of their needs, and they built aqueducts and roads and everything else with those funds, and that was a government. That's the Temple of Saturn, is where they registered their birth certificates to know who was a member of this system of social welfare run by the government. These were public temples. This was public religion. We show you what public religion was and what private religion was. And this is where Christians got into the greatest amount of trouble, is that Rome outlawed private religion. You had to obtain your benefits through the temple. You had to swear by the temple and contribute to the temples. But that would be coveting your neighbor's goods, and Christians couldn't do this. This is completely foreign to most churches today, because most churches today are under a strong delusion. They think that that's okay, that all you have to do is believe in Jesus. But this is what Jesus was telling us to do. This is why Jesus was taking the kingdom away from the Pharisees and giving it to those who would bear fruit. How do you bear fruit in the kingdom? You learn to live by faith, hope, and charity. You create the bonds of love between you and your other congregational members, not by joining some denomination with a particular name, you know, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, Jehovah's Witness. Then you say, well, we're these guys. No, your bonds must be based on your love of Christ and what Christ said to do. Because if you love him, you will keep his commandments. And he commanded us not to be like the governments of the Gentiles, who are benefactors of the people, but do so by exercising authority. He said we were not to be that way. Yet every church today, to some degree or another, is indulging in that practice with their congregations. They are not providing the daily ministration through faith, hope, and charity alone. They are eating from the table of devils, the adversaries of Christ, and from Christ's table, and you cannot do both. So that is a radical thing to put together in a short little a program like this, but we ask things like, why was Jesus in the royal treasury? Because the Gestapone was a royal treasury. And that's where he is instructing the ministers. Why could he fire the money changers with his little string whip? Because he was the king. He was like King David, who had that power. If you go back in the Old Testament, we go through this in detail in our books and articles and show you that in the Old Testament, this is what David could do. And this is what Jesus did, because Jesus was the king. Now, many men didn't like this, and they wanted to destroy Jesus because they were losing their positions of power and affluence, because they had distorted the gospel of Moses to become something other than it was to be. And every religion does that. Religions today are simply there to be the opiate of the people, to make them feel good about the immorality that they practice the rest of the week. It's one of the things when we talk about Sabbath. Sabbath is not a day. Sabbath is a way. So was the kingdom a physical kingdom on earth? Daniel says in 434, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me." This is what I pray, that understanding returns to you. "And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. There are no fathers of the earth but your natural father in the kingdom of God." You are not looking for a corporate leader to take from your neighbor to provide you with welfare. This is the message of Christ, because that type of sacrifice makes the word of God to none effect. If you want the word of God to be effect in your life, then you must live by faith, hope, and charity. You must seek to do that. I know you can't jump to do that, but you must seek to do that with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Daniel 4:3. "How great are his signs! How mighty are his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation." That is to say, his government is from generation to generation. The power of the state in the kingdom of God is in the hands of every individual man. So in order to function, they must gather together in a network. So you saw the early congregations of Israel gathering with 10 families, picking a minister. And then that minister getting together with other ministers and picking a minister. Linking everybody together in a circulatory system of love and charity, and hope that your neighbor would be there for you, not only in your local neighborhood, but in a broad kingdom sense. The first governments were created by men like Cain, who created the first city-state, and they began to bind people together economically, religiously. In other words, religion used to be how you performed your duty to God and your fellow man. So you have a duty to your fellow man to love him, to care for him, to provide for him in time of need. And that's what religion was defined as even 200 years ago. If you looked up the definition, and we go through that in our articles on religion, we show you what that word religion means. Today it means what you think about God, and that's why you go to church, because you think this church thinks the right things about God. But God wants you to care for one another. That's religion. That's pure religion. James tells you that. Pure religion is do that, again, unspotted by the world, which we've covered that world picture and term in one of our last shows. For a mortal man, a kingdom is a form of government, and there are many forms of government. We see this all through the Bible, even though the history of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, we see foreign kingdoms as governments in the Bible and secular history. We even see kingdoms as governments still today. We don't call them kingdoms. We call them governments. We call them the state. But the church, in its most general sense, is the religious society founded and established by Jesus Christ to receive, preserve, and propagate his doctrines and ordinances. It is a body or community of Christians united under one form of government by the profession of one faith and the observance of the same rituals and ceremonies. That's Black's Law Dictionary definition of the church from Black's 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th edition. That the church is one form of government. And what are its rituals and ceremonies? It takes care of the widows and orphans and needy of its society through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. Its leaders are titular. They do not exercise authority one over the other, but they are there to serve. And the only way they have the power to serve is that if you come and cast your bread upon the waters, sacrifice upon those living altars of men of service. You must choose to do that if you really repent and choose to walk in the ways of Christ, because that's what Christ was doing. He was taking over the entire social welfare of everyone who repented and sought the ways of Christ. The Levites were called the church in the wilderness. They were the called out ministers of an entire nation that operated almost exclusively by free will offerings in a network of people who believed in God, an unseen God, that wrote upon their hearts and upon their minds. Now, they strayed from that time and time again, but the modern church has strayed from that also. They think that believing in God is a mental exercise and a calculation of their own thinking as to the nature and extent of God. And it's not. That faith in God is to love the name and character and ways of God so much so that you will not be coveting your neighbor's goods. You will not trying to be a tyrant and rule over your neighbor. You will not try to control his life. You will not take from him to provide for your benefit, unless it is specifically freely given. The word charity does not appear in the Old Testament, but the words free will offering and sacrifice and gift appear hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, because the Old Testament government of Moses operated by charity, by free will offerings, by the direction of the Spirit of God moving in the hearts of the people or not. And that is the way the kingdom of God operates today. From generation to generation, families coming together and binding themselves not with contracts and covenants and constitutions, but with love for one another, caring for one another, providing for one another in small congregations and in large congregations of congregations, until the network spreads from one end of the world to the other. And we must repent and get back to that. And until we do, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. For more information, contact us at hisholychurch.org or email us at radio@hisholychurch.org or write us at His Church, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640.